This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
Spurs said goodbye to White Hart Lane at the weekend. They beat Manchester United 2-1. That was a significant result because it meant for the first time since the 1960s, they finished in second place in the top flight. Mauricio Pochettino's done a fantastic job at the club, now considered one of the best managers in England. They've got one of the best young squads in probably all of Europe. They've got a new stadium coming. Are Spurs on the brink of finally becoming a Premier League giant?
There's a lot of information in there. One of the best young squads in Europe as well. I would point to the south of France.
I think
perhaps.
You answered this question.
They are one of the best young squads in Europe.
Nah, for me, when you look at Spurs from the outside, it's... I just can't square if there's a sense of optimism around the place for all the reasons you list, or it's a sense of they've now come as far as they possibly can and there's a bit of uncertainty of what happens next. I mean, a year away from the lane to play at Wembley, question marks over Pochettino, is he taking him as far as he can? What happens to some of the talent in the squad? Might it be picked apart this summer or next? I just find it a strange balance with Spurs at the moment. Everything, if you on paper, suggests this is a team really going places, but just feels like kind of teetering at the moment of it could go either way.
Is that because there are so many figures there that if you lose one of them, you feel like the whole thing could collapse? I mean, Inter Milan reported to be making a big play for Pochettino, Dele Alli as well, another player linked with big clubs. If one of those leaves,
I think it's the nature of the Premier League that uncertainty just follows every step, and you can't really look too forward with anything, with players, with coaches, with even with stadiums and plans like that. And when you have a team like Tottenham, who currently they have everything so well, you know, run out, it's the speculation that's going to follow. But I think Tottenham are in a better position than they ever have been, certainly. I mean, for example, the rumour you just mentioned there, Pochettino going to Inter Milan. Why would Pochettino go to Inter Milan? 10 years ago, a successful Tottenham manager might have went to Inter Milan. Now, why?
Well, money. They're supposedly offering him, I think it's £8.5 million or euros.
Well, how much is that compared to Premier League? Sure, it might be significantly more, but not only are Tottenham, can they now afford the wages that can keep these coaches here when, you know, traditional European giants come calling, but they're also placed in London, which is
where Sunderland wanted to be.
It's a factor that we don't really consider. It's a city that people want to live in, players and coaches, and, you know, just the simple finances and the way they've got the club running now. I think they're in a better position now to hold on to players and coaches than they were 10 years ago.
And they're going to have a new cheese room at their new stadium as well, which will attract.
And the bar as well.
The longest bar in London they're going to have.
They've got that transparent tunnel as well, haven't they, that you can see the players going out from the bar.
Yep, they've got a lot of things like that. But it's the cheese room that will attract all the French players.
Hashtag so. Modern football, yeah.
I think the mark of a truly big club, and I would actually compare it to Chelsea, who not so long ago you wouldn't have considered a big club. They were a big club, but they weren't winning titles or so on. They're now more than the manager. You know, they get managers in and they still manage to maintain success. Actually, with them, Chelsea winning the Premier League, just a little stat, means that since Roman Abramovich took over, they're now the most successful team in English football. So my point is Spurs' rise just down to Pochettino? If he goes, do you feel that they could sustain this success in some way?
Was that a great stat since the birth of football in 1992?
No, that was from 2004.
Abramovich was 2006.
Oh, Abramovich era, right? Yes. I beg your pardon. Oh, well, the joke fell flat in his face.
Let me give you another stat. Andreas Villas-Boas has a better win ratio than Pochettino.
Really?
Yeah, he does. And I know that's funny, but he does. And I tell you what, Pochettino's win record isn't actually that much better than the guys who've came before him. As I said, Villas-Boas was actually better, which goes on to suggest, now I don't want to badmouth Tottenham because I think they have done a fantastic job, but when you actually look at the stats, there is reason to suggest that they're actually taking advantage of a very good situation right now. There are a lot of clubs in England who can spend a lot more money and attract much better players. For example, Manchester City, Manchester United, Arsenal, even Liverpool, who aren't doing as well, and Tottenham have done fantastic to step into the breach there. But I don't actually think I don't think we should apply actually too much credit to Pochettino. He's done the best. He's got the very best out of the squad that he's got. But he's not winning any more games than the coaches that came before him. He's just he's just winning games. Sorry, Tottenham are perhaps doing as well as they have done recently, but the teams who would be above them are doing worse.
So what you're saying is you really expect City and United and these teams who are maybe faltering the past two seasons to come back and really take the place from Spurs in the same way Leicester made the most of a league last season where there was no real title challenge.
I think there should be the tiniest of hashtags. Tiniest asterisks next to this season in that regard.
I find it completely bewildering. To get back to where I was going to begin with this point, Spurs are a team who've had the capability to be around the top six for, pretty much the Enoch money all the way back and Daniel Levy, but let's say 10 years. Harry Redknapp had them in the Champions League 1 year. They've always been a team with the component parts to be up there.
But if everything works at full capacity, they can get in the top four.
Yes, exactly. Well, in their current guise. Mauricio Pochettino has done is push that on and stretch it to the absolute limits. But he's done it with a brand of football which is ultra-offensive, ultra-attacking, pushing teams back into their box and having this strike force and being fortunate with the players that he's got, that they've not really succumbed to injury or long periods out where he's been able to have that and maintain that style, because their backup options in certain areas aren't necessarily that conducive to the fundamental style. But he's really made the most of the resources he has and pushed it to the max. And I don't buy that other clubs faltering is the reason for that. I think it's the style of play with the resources he's got. He's just a good manager. He happens to have a very good attacking side and good options at the back. And he's completely maxed it out.
I'm not really suggesting that he's doing a bad job. I'm saying he's doing a perfectly good job. I'm just saying that's getting him further than it would have got coaches who came before him, because the teams he would be challenging with aren't doing as well.
No, I think Spurs in their own right are where they are on their own merit. It's not because of other teams. Mm.
A big point of the argument around Spurs is their new stadium. They played their last game at the weekend. There's two ways to look at this. Does this move to a new stadium come at the absolute right time for Spurs, in that in a year's time Pochettino will maybe have mounted another title challenge, they'll have an exceptional team moving into a 60,000 seater stadium that will really sustain each other, the team will sustain the stadium will sustain the team? Or is the move to Wembley next year, where they've got an atrocious record, plenty's been made of that, has it come at the wrong time? They could have used another year at White Hart Lane.
I think Wembley's got all the capability to suck the life out of this team entirely. And I don't want to put too much in the Champions League record, because that's coming up. It's at a level and a style of play this team perhaps weren't used to, and playing in unfamiliar surroundings. But Spurs have just got this so much momentum right now, and I don't know if it was maybe the final year at the Lane, even though they're not really leaving the Lane.
This whole finale about leaving White Hart Lane, they're literally buying the more expensive house building around the street.
Yeah, they're building around it. They're just building an extension onto their house.
They're moving to another house until their house is, the renovation's finished.
But it just feels, there was a real surge because it was the final year. I think that maybe pushed and created a bit of an atmosphere around the place as well. But I just think it's just got the capability to just suck the life out of this team. And a little bit of uncertainty is when they arrive back at White Hart Lane, what shape will that team in? Will Pochettino still be there? Will the players still be there? And will they have achieved what they achieved this season? It just feels, like I said, it takes you back to the teetering point. I just think this is where it can all go badly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I know Tottenham fans won't appreciate the comparison to Arsenal, but I remember when they moved out of Highbury, Thierry Henry was quite famously said that it was so hard for them to adapt to a new pitch, because for him, he was so used to playing at the same ground for so long that he'd almost got used to, you know, almost the literal dimensions of the pitch, you know, where to stand, where he could pass the ball, how far he had to hit the ball, how hard he used to hit it. And when they moved to the Emirates, it was a completely different ball game. The squad had to completely adapt to it. It sounds so baffling for professional footballers that something that minute can make a difference, but of course it can.
Psychology is a big thing.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you, actually. I think Wembley's, I guess it's not an unnecessary risk because they have to do this for financial gain, but in terms of sporting, it's a huge risk.
And it's the fact as well that so much of their form this season has been built on that home record, and you remove that familiarity.
The away record is really what's let them down in terms of the title challenge. So yeah.
And the fact that whenever you see teams, whether it's West Ham or Tottenham or whoever, at Wembley, they can't support the team the same way that they can in their own grounds. It might be full of Tottenham fans, might be full of West Ham fans, but it just doesn't feel the
West
same
Ham's
way.
West Ham's an interesting comparison because it feels like the life has been almost sucked out of the entire club when they moved to the Olympic Stadium.
Dogged with problems, though, that I don't think Spurs are encountering at Wembley. I mean, they weren't, things off the pitch and how close the fans are and
they
fighting
might
fans
experience it at their new stadium in 2 years' time, or a year's time, I should say.
Well, it's the same stadium.
Well, so yeah, they, apart from this one's got a cheese room, as I've mentioned, I might have mentioned that before. Much maligned figure at Spurs is Daniel Levy, or at least in previous years he has been. Does he now deserve credit for the way this team has been built? Because of course Spurs, the recruitment at Spurs, the transfers they bring in, dealt in a little bit of a different way to other clubs. Is he now justifying himself at that club? A man who, you know, I remember Spurs fans having protest banners and being very angry at him for basically selling every one of their key players. Yeah. Has he proved himself now?
I mean, for the longest time he seemed like the quintessential Premier League chairman, wasn't he? Or sport director, whatever you want to call him. In the sense that he would buy, had this scattergun approach to the transfer market, spend as much money as it took. But whenever a decent offer came in from one of the best players, they were also out the door.
He was also, he was very good at negotiating a price. I mean, look at the money he got.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I think he's one of the shrewdest operators in the Premier League and a pragmatist as well, and operating within the means and budget that Spurs have available to them. I mean, they're able to sell, actually, I'm just about to contradict myself. As soon as they say Gareth Bale sold and then the players they brought in with that money, perhaps shows the pragmatism went out the window.
Well, you say that, they bought Son, who at the time...
Not with that money though, that was after, wasn't it?
That wasn't my point, sorry.
Yeah, they brought in, I can't even remember, Nasser Chadley was in there as well. Most seven or eight players, I'm not sure any of them are there.
Well, I would counter that argument by saying I don't think Daniel Levy's approach has changed from what it was 10 years ago. And this is where the test comes. Where I will give Pochettino credit is the fact that where other coaches have simply tried to spin as many plates as Daniel Levy has thrown at them, Pochettino has taken a different approach to it. He's brought in young players like Harry Kane, like Dele Alli, and these guys have thrived under Pochettino. There's obviously players like Wanyama, Son, who they would usually buy. I mean, obviously they're both fantastic players, but these are guys who are really hard workers and Pochettino's got the best out of them. So where Pochettino stands above perhaps his predecessor at Tottenham is that he's getting the best out of the squad that Daniel Levy's gave him. Where the real test comes for Tottenham is when Kane or Dele Alli start getting touted as Man United or Man City players. Will Levy then fall back on his laurel, fall back and then do as usual?
Do you feel that Spurs can hold on to those players? I mean, Dele Alli to me seems like a player who is destined for a Real Madrid or a Barcelona, whereas Harry Kane seems a bit more kind of almost intertwined with the club a bit more.
But it was never a case that they had to sell them. They never had to sell players of the past. They've never had to sell them for these fortunes.
They had to sell Bale.
They had to sell them both. They both.
Oh, Bale's an exception. Yeah, Bale's world record. That might be the difference. But the Tottenham aren't a club who live by transfer to transfer.
Well, especially the direction of travel they're on now with the new stadium, it will strengthen their revenue base so that they're not a club that then buys small, sell big. Anymore, they're able to bring in players. They're not going to spend huge transfer fees, but they'll be able to retain talent for longer, you would expect.
So to close the discussion up a little bit, what do they need to do next to make that next step to be Premier League champions, to compete in the Champions League? Do they stick with this squad and hope that the continuity will take them and that group of players will continue to grow and improve? Or do they need to now go and invest big and get the big name players to make that final step?
No, I don't think you need to get big name players. I think you need to follow the same transfer policy of picking up gems.
But at a higher tier?
Well, I think they're already picking them up at a decent tier. Yeah, maybe a slightly better tier. But what Spurs' game completely comes down to is that attacking mentality. And I'm struggling to find a word to describe, pinning teams back in their own boxes, that kind of high intensity, high tempo.
I believe Jürgen Klopp calls it heavy metal football.
Right, perfect. There we are.
Or gegenpressing. Is that not the other term for it?
Anyway, you've completely taken my train of thought. when Ali or Kane aren't available, Vincent Janssen's not the backup option you would anticipate him being. You need to bring in someone who's a plan B option to kind of add a bit of verve and a different dynamicism to their attack. That's what I think they're lacking. I think they've kind of scraped by in that regard. They really want to add something to the team. It needs to be probably two, one a starter, one a kind of backup player who can really kind of bring something different to the forward line.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite simple. As long as Danny Levy doesn't sell the players or Pochettino, then I think they've got every chance of challenging for the title. A coach who has been given the time to build a squad and to work with his team in the Premier League, where it rarely happens, is worth his weight in gold, and that's what Tottenham have right now.
Bold prediction, they won't get top four next season because of Wembley.
Well, I'll go against that and I'll say they'll be champions. No, I'm just kidding, I don't think they'll be champions. They'll finish in the top four though.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.